St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchez. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Just remain standing now. I just wanted to say a few words about Reverend Draper, and we'll go right on into the hymn of preparation. So no sense in having you sit down to stand back up again. Today, we have a man who has been with the Lord for several years. Matter of fact, he's been the pastor of Tree of Calvary Baptist Church for the past 25 years. He's a graduate of United Theological Seminary, has done some studying at Louisiana State University. He's blessed to have his wife, Sheila, who is also a reverend in the ministry. I've known Reverend Draper myself for many, many years. We've worked together in the chaplaincy with respect to state regulations for many, many years also. And I was just on my way home a couple of Sundays ago by myself. Sister Smith wasn't with me. And I just turned to 88.1 or whatever it was, and there was this preacher who was going to town. And I had never heard Reverend Draper preach, although I sat in many board meetings with him. And he was tearing the target up. I mean, he was doing some preaching, and I said, who in the world is that? I know most of the radio preachers, and then the voice, I said, that's Leslie. Couldn't wait to get home to call him to let him know that I had heard him on the radio. And he made himself, at our invitation, available today to come and preach for us.
Amen.
I thank the world of him, and after the hymn of preparation, the next voice you will hear will be that of the Reverend Dr. Leslie Draper of Simsport, Louisiana. Amen.
Amen.
I'm on the battlefield. And I want you to sing that like you on the battlefield. I want you to sing it like you mean it. I want you to sing it like we're going home to see Jesus in a few minutes. And we're on the battlefield. Come on, come on now. Let's lift our voices to the Lord. I promised him something. I can't hear you. There you go, there you go. On the battlefield for my Lord. On the battlefield for my Lord. Yeah. thank you now for this precious preaching moment. We're so grateful to you that you have allowed us to be here to share. Oh God, we are so grateful that you gave us traveling grace. Not only did you bring us here, but you met us here. We thank you for the anointing that's in this place. Now, God, dip us into the deep treasures of your word. God, as you have us to go, let us say the things you want us to say. Let us not skip, stutter, nor stray. Keep us on course. And God, touch ears that we hear, receive, and that we all be made better through the washing of the word. There are many other things that we will ask of thee, but thou knowest them all together. It is in the strong, saving name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And
God bless you, preacher.
Amen. What a marvelous, awesome God we serve.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. To God be the glory. We thank him, knowing that he does all things well.
Yes, sir.
I am certainly grateful for your pastor and our friend and brother in the Lord for inviting us here today to share with the Rose of Sharon.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
What a blessing it is to be here. I'm thankful to him, and as he mentioned, that our paths has crossed through the years. He said we worked together, but he really was our boss. He basically told us from headquarters how things should go, and we carry them out to the best of our abilities. Our paths cross. Years ago, when I was working at the Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola, and it was quite a to-do, and they send this tall African-American to come and clean up some mess. Amen.
Amen.
I respected him and admired him. He's a great administrator. And I'm telling this to you because sometimes you don't know what you have.
Yes, sir.
I was preaching at a conference the other day, trying to help the preacher and sharing with the congregation the danger of missing greatness. And so I just stopped by to tell you that you have a great leader. Amen.
Amen.
I'm grateful as I give honor to the First Lady. God bless you. Amen. And to all of you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and to my co-laborers who share the joys of preaching the gospel, Brother Wade, as you were Blade, Minister Butler, and my longtime friend, Reverend Willie, God bless you for sharing. And I'm thankful, Pastor, that you brought me into this fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. When I arrived on the grounds, I knew that I was on good grounds.
Amen.
I've been blessed by your presence and the music ministry. Amen. And I thank God for a great music ministry. And Lord, the children just bless my heart.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now that was like camel soup. That was good. Amen. I thank God. Sister, I was listening. I know it when I hear it now. Amen. On the piano there. Amen. Y'all heard of Ray Robertson?
Oh, yeah.
No? Ray Charles.
Yeah.
I'm a hold now.
What a blessing. She's gifted.
Amen. I enjoy. Listen, I usually don't talk a whole lot, but in saying that, it's my first time here, and thank you for bringing me here again, Pastor. Listen, I want to share this word with you from the Acts of the Apostle. The Acts of the Apostle, the 8th chapter, is our reading for today, and the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I want to share this with you. I encourage you to continue to celebrate our heritage, but I want to share this with you on today. Acts of the Apostle, the 8th chapter. Amen. Beginning at the 26th verse. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge over her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither unto him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Amen. For this is the word of the Lord. The text here in 31 leaves us with a question. It is much like life. Life presents to us many questions. But before we can settle in our minds and heart the expression of the text as it is articulated in verse 31, we rapidly move to the verse 35. Because it doesn't matter how many questions befall us in life, verse 35 gives us the summation. Verse 35 gives us what we need to answer all of life's questions. This text here causes us to investigate our own lives. While it is believed and understood that most believers spend more time watching at folk than over folk, this text here challenges each individual, us as an individual, in an effort to bring the best out of us. Because questions sometimes causes us to dig deep. And often when we dig deep, we find a hidden treasure in us. Questions not only expands us, but it exposes us. It reveals to us that there is some more to the present reality that we are experiencing. And that often it reminds us that we don't know it all. I wish I had a witness here. Which means that we are forever students of the word, because we are students of life. Life is filled with swift transitions. And often as we move from one good degree of grace into the other, before we can answer the questions of the perplexity of our present circumstances, life pushes us into another area where we are confronted with more questions. And so the text here is serving us a notice that whatever questions we have, that the Lord has the answer to them. Amen. Let's look again as I give you a subject in verse 31. And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? All right. I want to talk about life questions and answers. Life questions and answers. Questions are not all that bad. In fact, they are very good. It often pushes us to the urgency or ushers us to the urgency of the moment. And often urges us to better prepare ourselves for what is to come. We don't always know about tomorrow, though we know who holds tomorrow. And so as we look from our present stand into the future of our lives, we look with hope. We look with expectations, but we stand vulnerable because we don't know what's around the curve. Many questions. In this text here, in the Acts of the Apostles, in the 8th chapter, we must understand that there are some controversies in the text. In the sense that that this text is far greater than this man. And life is the same way. It's not all about you. Help me, somebody. No, the Lord didn't bring you here so that this thing would be all about you. Yeah, everything you go through is bigger than you. Every question that befalls you is far greater than you. And so in this text here, there's a lot going on in the text here. And let me just run you through it so we can get the mood of the text. As we look, we see that there are some things that's going on in the text that's going on today. Preaching would be just another presentation if it's not made relevant to life's circumstances. In the text here, we see that there were a suppression of religious freedom. In the text, if you read coming up to chapter 8 or prior to chapter 8, you'll see that there were some not only a crisis, but there were much killing going on in the text, much of it because of the preference of those who live in this area of their fervent religiosity. In other words, many of them chose to serve the Lord. But because of their culture and because of the manners and customs of that day and the place where they were, they ran into some problems. We had civil rights issues and they were dealing with religious issues. And so in the text here, not only that, the church they were disturbed in the sense that there was a killing that just went on with Stephen's. They were just buried him or were taking him to his grave. And so there were folk who were in mourning. And not only were there folk who were grieving, there were folk who were suppressed of their preference to their religion. But also in the text here, there were a man who took advantage of the vulnerability of the people. Isn't it amazing that how every now and then a wolf would come in and take advantage of the good heart of a sheep. In the text here, there comes Simon, and he decided that he was going to preach some other gossip. He decided that this was an opportunity to manipulate the mind of malicious men. He decided that this was an opportunity that people were disturbed, they were hurting, they were broken. And they were looking for some help, and he wanted to pause in them with a presentation other than what God aimed for them to have. It happens when folk are looking for things to tickle their ears. They're looking for things, and they run from one church to the other church. They're not really looking for Jesus. Are y'all in this house? No. They're not looking for where the gospel is being preached. They're looking for something that to solidify, something to say to them that in spite of your faults and failure, you're all right. They're not looking for something to challenge them to change. But they're looking for something to cause them to remain in their present condition and be satisfied in it. Now, I told you there was a lot going on in the text, and often God uses the pressure of society to draw us to salvation. Often God allow the economy to get bad. Help me, somebody. Yeah. Often God allow the unemployment rate to go up. Oh, it's amazing how folk who were blessed don't know where the church is, but when they get broke, here they come. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's amazing. And so often God cut the road off for us in life sometimes and causes us to experience some hardship to bring us back to the church. One thing I discovered, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. I'm glad Obama's in the White House. Don't get me wrong here, but I mean overall, it really doesn't matter who's in the White House. No. God is still on the throne. So when there's a crisis in our country, I don't look to the political leaders. I look to the author and finisher of our faith. I look to Jesus. Wish I had a witness here. Doesn't matter if it's a famine in the land. I go back to my reference of grandmama. Grandmama took so little, did so much with so little for so long until she was qualified to do almost anything with nothing. Are y'all in this house? I go back to my reference. I look to mama. Doesn't matter how high grocery get. I remember mama who we had turkey from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Mama would bake the turkey. Day after, she make turkey salad. Turkey soup. We'll have turkey sandwich. Are y'all in this house? So I look to Jesus. So there was much controversy going on in the text here in society. But no matter how society changed, the word of God is still the same. In the text here, we get down to all of this going on in the community, and now we deals with the controversy of the church. Let's see. Now, Philip was one among those who were dispersed because of the rampage in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was considered the holy city and still is. And because of what was going on, the preachers were dispersed. And now, some went down to Samaria as Philip did, and he preached the gospel there. But when Jerusalem heard that Samaria learned how to have church, Jerusalem got jealous. See, that's something, because there are some churches who only believe that God is just at their church. Are y'all in this house? So Jerusalem got jealous at Samaria because they were not supposed to be out churching them. Y'all do know we have church battles, huh? Well, maybe not in Alexandria, but in Sunsport, we have church battles. You know, who have the most members and the most money and y'all in here, the biggest building, and nothing to do with church for real, but we just have church battles. We have fish jump out of that church into this church. We didn't catch you. You jumped in this boat. Well, let me leave you alone. Let me get to the text here, because the text says here that he's preaching. So now he goes to the other city. He just experienced the success of a citywide revival. He just experienced it. And now he goes home. See, it's one thing to preach to a crowd, but it's another thing to preach one-on-one. Discipling a person is a one-on-one thing. Help me, somebody. So now, on his way back, experiencing, I like to believe that Philip's chest was out a little bit. Oh, it's a good feeling when you preach the good preach. Are y'all in here? He's on his way back. And while he's going back, he gets news from headquarters. And God sent an angel. An angel is a messenger. He sent angels, divine agents, to see after human affairs. He comes to Philip and he says to Philip to go toward the south. That's where we are in the text. And the angel of the Lord, verse 26, spake to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. Jerusalem geographically is higher. It's elevated. And now he tells him to go from Jerusalem unto Gaza. He goes to Gaza with the understanding that, historically speaking, that Gaza had been destroyed 100 years earlier. Now he takes me from a populated area, from a citywide revival, to do some one-on-one discipleship. I discover that there are even some of us as preachers and evangelists and as those of us who witness the gospel as missionary. We don't mind a big crowd, but we don't like a one-on-one experience. He takes Philip and he said, you go toward the south. Now watch this, because Philip is under divine influence. But he's also following divine direction. I want to tell you that when you don't know which way to go, help me somebody, look up toward heaven and he'll give you divine direction. Philip goes toward the south and toward Gaza, understanding that this is simply desert. And so, Lord, the Lord often would take us out of our comfort zone. And notice now, he didn't ask, why should I go down there? There's nobody down there. Help me, somebody. Mm-hmm, yeah, I just left the city, and you're taking me to the rural area. Now, no matter where you are, it's still God's country. Don't get so caught up with your questions until you can't pursue the answer that God is giving you. Watching the text here. So he's heading to Gaza. And on his way to Gaza, and notice here, when he gets on his way, he gets now, and he sees a man in verse 27 of sitting on a chariot. And he sees him. Now notice they're in the middle of nowhere. Oh, my God. Now remember I said that he's in the middle of where?
Nowhere.
He's in the middle of nowhere, and he sees this man sitting on the chariot, and he's reading a book.
Yes, sir.
With the understanding that this man is from Ethiopia. He's an African. Help me, somebody. He's a black man, sure enough, in the text here, and he's reading a Bible. The great controversy here in the text here is that if this man